If you need a handout, lift your hand up, if you would please. Joel will get you one. And then let's take our Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 8 together, please, as we continue our study in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8 tonight. All right, per Kelly's request, we're going to look at the text that she asked last time. And I am confident that you're going to make requests now, too, knowing that I honor requests. Texts, but this is the text you're going to look at anyway, and we need to look at it to understand the whole of the text tonight. Would you look at two verses in chapter 9? I think I said chapter 8. I should have said chapter 9. Two verses to draw your attention this evening. Verse 4, Proverbs 9. Whoever is simple, let him turn and hear. Verse 16. Whoever is simple, let him turn and hear. I suppose if it were a modern day, it would look like big neon signs that said, welcome, eat here, play here, come here, spend your dollars here, come, 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 come. These are the two invitations to come to the party. Some of you probably like parties an awful lot. People have parties, you want to go. You like having people in your home. You like going to people's homes. You like a party. If it's a baby shower, you want to go. If it's a bridal shower, you want to go. If it is an anniversary party, you want to go. If it's a birthday party, you want to go. And if it's your birthday, you definitely want to have a party at your house. You say, I don't have anything for me, but when the end of the day comes and your wife didn't have anything for you, you're all disappointed because she didn't have the party that you told her not to have. So you like a party. You're glad to have one. Here in the text, on the ends, on the bookends, there is an invitation to a party on either end. The invitation at the beginning is to the party hosted by wisdom. At the end is the party hosted by foolishness. Each of them makes the same invitation to you, to the simple. Come on in. Come to my party. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. Before we do, let's do our memory verse together. All right? I won't put anybody on the spot tonight. Let's just say it together. I'll give you the reference and then we'll quote it. Proverbs 1:7. The fear excellent. Very, very good. So in verse 1, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. And all of this is for the purpose of inviting people to come. She's slaughtered her meat. She's mixed her wine. She's furnished her table. She's getting the party all ready so that you can come. She has sent out her maidens. And their purpose is to cry out from the highest places of the city. The invitation that we just read. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come. Eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. You are invited to the wisdom party. And at the party that's wisdom, everything that you would want is there. Everything that is generous from her hand, everything that comes from her gracious supply, your host is going to give it to you. Every reason that you would want to come to the party is there. Do you remember when you were a kid and you would go to a party and you got there and the food was, they didn't have the food you wanted. Or instead of having name drinks, mom went to Aldi and got the drinks for the party. And it was just a lame, lame party. Her party isn't like this. Her party has everything that you would want. And obviously it's poetical communication. You're not invited to a literal party where you're going to literally eat and literally drink. It's all poetry and image. You're to look at this and say, if I go where wisdom is, you know what it's like? It's like going to a party given by this incredibly generous and gracious host. It's like sitting down at a party and having this unbelievable meal. It's like sitting down at her table and having the best drinks offered to me. It's like going into this place, and when you walk into her house, you look around and you go, wow, this is incredible. And she invited me to come. That's the imagery. It's all yours at her generous and gracious hand. Here you go. It's for you. But what is also true is there is another party calling to the same people. By the way, did your kids, for those of you whose children are out of the home, or do you remember when you were a kid, having a party on the same night that somebody else was having a party? And your guests were invited to both parties. And because God has made us finite, we can't go two places at once, right? So somebody makes a choice. Now, usually, the choice to go to a party, what's it based on? Why would a person, given two invitations at the same night, why would a person choose to go to one party over another? Why would they do that? Okay, so it's where everybody else is going, so that's where I'm going to go. Brenda? Sure. You know, I could go to this party's going to Grand Slam, or I could go to Pastor's house and they're going to go sit in the basement. So, which one do you want to go to? Which one do you want to go to? John? Yeah, who's going to have the better food? Are they going to have, you know, they're going to have meat, or are they going to have a veggie tray? What are they going to have? What are they going to have there? What else? Pardon me? Oh, sure. If you can, now, if it's the summer and you can go to the pool party or you can go to the hot, sweaty party, you know, which one are you going to go to? Ah, sure. Loyalty to a friend. You know, so, okay, they've got the pool and they've got the better food and they're going to Grand Slam and all everybody else is going over there. But alas, you're my friend. So I'm going to go to your party. Exactly right. Exactly right. Loyalty to a friend is certainly. So here is the same group of people. Remember that, verse 14 and 16? Both, the appeal goes to the same group. What Proverbs calls the simple ones. Who are the simple ones? Answer, all of us. All of us, at some point in our lives, in some area of our lives, we are all simple. We are in need of an education, challenge, growth in an area. We're all that. So the appeal is made to people just like us. One is to go to wisdom's party, and the other is to go to the foolish party. And the foolish party comes complete too. And it comes complete with every deceiving thing our malicious and misleading host can supply. I chose those words carefully. The host at the wisdom party, she is generous and gracious. The host at the foolish party, she is malicious and misleading. At her party, you think she's giving to you, but actually what's happening, she's taking from you. At her party, you think what you're receiving is beneficial, but actually, it's damaging. It is all based on deception. So that the result is, it's full of malice, and it's full of deceit. Look in verse 13. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house, on a seat by the highest places of the city. not unlike the maidens in verse 3. To call to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Same appeal. Whosoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, same appeal. Here's what she says. Stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. And the whole point is this. She deceives with every thought. Her purpose is to mislead. The end is malice. So you're invited to a party. Now, question for you. If you know that you're going to go to a party where the food on one hand is fresh and tasty and good for you. That's what's at the one party. And at the other party, you know what's going to be offered to you looks okay, but in actuality, it's rotten. It will in time cause unbelievable damage to your intestinal tract. You will spend the week in the bathroom. That's what's going to happen if you go and eat at that party. Which party are you going to eat at? Obvious answer, right? You're going to go to the first one. So you would think, looking at this, that everybody, every simple person would choose to go to which person's party? Wise or fool? Everybody would. That's what you would think. But is that what everybody does? Absolutely not. Is that what you always do? Or do you, like I do you find yourself on occasion at a party hosted by the foolish woman? Where you're eating all her garbage food. Taking in all her garbage thoughts. Looking around at her trashy house thinking, that's a pretty good place. When you could have gone to the wise woman's house, enjoyed the incredible atmosphere of her glorious home, sat at her table where she has no expectation of you except to enjoy it at her lavish spread. That's what you could have done. All right. Yep. Mm-hmm. Sure. And I think that's right. So we come to these middle verses. The party is seen as on the end. And you might look at these middle verses and say, well, these middle verses don't fit with this. But in actuality, they really do. Because it talks about the kinds of individuals who go to certain parties. He who corrects a scoffer, verse 7, gets shame for himself. And he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. All right? Each party is an ongoing event, not a one-time decision. I heard that. Amen. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Each party is an ongoing event, not a one-time decision. All right, so here is an individual who corrects another person. Verse 7, somebody corrects a scoffer. And when he does that, he opens the door for a response. He's also going to correct a wise person, and that individual is going to respond. What happens? Well, verse 7 tells us this, that if you do this, if you correct a scoffer, what is a scoffer? You remember in Proverbs there are three groups of people who are described in negative terms. Simple is one. A fool is another. A scoffer is a third. If you were to put them on some kind of graph or chart, a simple is the person who is probably ignorant of spiritual truth. He just doesn't know any better. He's naive. A foolish person is one who has heard spiritual truth, but he just can't grasp it. Or he isn't interested enough to pursue the grasping of it. So you would say, well, that's foolish. It's too hard work for him to try to figure out what it means. A scoffer, he knows it, he understands it, and he thumbs his nose at it. So, on a sliding scale downward, he's the worst of the three. He's identified as a rebel, for example. Well, here is a scoffer, this guy. Now, you try to correct him, and you open a door for a response. Like what? Well, one of the things that you open the door for is abuse, abuse of yourself. That's the word shame in verse 7. Probably better translated, abuse. He who corrects a scoffer gets abuse for himself. Maybe verbal, probably verbal, possibly physical. But there's going to come an attack back, an attack on you as the messenger. The message is so distasteful to this person, just comes back and attacks the messenger. What else? Powerful emotions come out in this. Such as, verse 8, hate. If you correct a scoffer, he'll hate you. Now, a point of discussion here. I think this was part of Kelly's question last week. When verse 8 says, do not correct a scoffer lest he hate you, this is not a command from wisdom, don't do this. The point here is this. Do not correct a scoffer with any other expectation other than he will probably come back and hate you for correcting him. It is not logical thinking to think, oh, this guy's going to love me. If I correct him, he's just going to say, thank you. Thank you for helping me. I didn't realize I had such a huge problem here. So it's not a saying, don't do this, as if it were a command. It's a saying, if you do, then you need to have an expectation, though. Here's what's going to happen. He's going to hate you as a result of that. That's a strong possibility. One of it is a powerful emotion. But on the contrary to that, verse 8, if you rebuke a wise man, if you bring correction to this guy, this individual's powerful emotional response will be to love you and to say thank you to you. I didn't realize that if I pursued that course of action, that it would lead to that end. Thank you for doing that for me. It opens the door for response. If you give instruction, verse 9, to a wise man, he'll be wiser still. There is a limitless enhancement of skills. So if I go to this party, if I take part in this party, and I go to wisdom, and I learn from wisdom, there is for me a limitless enhancement of skills. That's an amazing thought. So I'm not sure what you mean. Let's talk about what wisdom is. I've given you the definition there again. Remember what wisdom is? Wisdom is, didn't I write give this trees here somewhere? Yep, down at the bottom. Wisdom is the ability to live life skillfully. All right? Every one of us is simple in some way. Give instruction to a wise man. By definition, a wise man has learned to do what? By definition, a wise man has learned to do what? Has learned to live life skillfully. But if you give instruction to a wise man, what will the result of that be? What does your Bible say? He'll what? He will become wiser still. So give instruction to one who has learned to live life skillfully, and the result of that is he will live life even more skillfully than he already does. What wisdom is teaching us is this. There is a limitless enhancement of skills. All right, well, that's important for me to think about. Because most of us, if not all of us, think, I think I've got this one covered. I think that I've got this thing figured out. I think I'm good in this. When in actuality, what the Bible teaches us is that no matter what the skill is that we've learned to live, there is a limitless enhancement of that skill. So what I want to do is go to wisdom's party. And every time I go to the foolish party, what happens to my ability to live life skillfully? It has to. Because if you give instruction to a wise man and he becomes the wiser, remember, when we study a proverb, more is intended than what is written. What also is probably true, if you give foolishness to a fool, he will become all the more foolish. So, I have to be on my guard never to go to the foolish party. There's a limitless enhancement of skills. So this isn't a one-time decision. It's not that I walked the aisle one day and I decided, okay, I'm now going to live wisely. It is a series of events, day after day after day. And it may be in a given day that I find myself running from party to party to party to party. And I go back and forth. And for a little while, I was enjoying the party that wisdom was holding. And then I find myself over there at the foolish house, living again. Does that make sense to you? What I classify it as spiritual warfare, well, I'm sure that would be a way that the Apostle Paul would put that in Ephesians 6. However, spiritual warfare implies that I am resisting the fight, that I'm fighting against an enemy that is coming at me. Here it would seem that this individual is just pursuing it. Okay? I want to go to the last one. There is further equipment of the already well-equipped. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. It adds to what we just talked about. You know, many of you have had just wonderful, wonderful experience. Great opportunity. I'm curious, how many of you here are either a graduate of a Christian school, either elementary or college, or you have the opportunity to be a student at a Christian school or college? How many of you? My hand is up. All right. You know, a significant number of you. Me too. And that's a great opportunity. Go to a Bible class. Get to go to chapel. Some of you were raised in a home where God's word was honored every day. Your mom and dad, or your dad or your mom, if you grew up in a single parent home, they just talked about the Lord. And you have had a great opportunity. Now, some of you, that opportunity wasn't available to you. So what you're doing in your home is you're making sure it's available for your kids. You're doing everything you can for that. All right? The Bible says, for all of us who are in that kind of situation where we've had this wonderful opportunity to become a just man, now teach him, and he will increase in learning too. The point being that there's further equipping for the already well-equipped. All right? When one corrects another, he opens the door for response. Last thought. One's party attendance ultimately impacts himself alone. And I want to be very, very clear on this and make sure that everyone gets this. Let's pick up the reading in verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What is the fear of the Lord? We covered this when we were looking at 1:7. I've given you the definition there before. To fear the Lord is to recognize God's character and respond by revering, trusting, worshiping, obeying, and serving Him. To fear the Lord is a state of mind in which one's own attitudes, will, feelings, deeds, and goals are exchanged for God's. That is to fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord, verse 10, is the beginning of wisdom. It is the beginning of learning how to... The fear of the Lord is the beginning of learning how to... Thankfully, live life skillfully. All right? And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Or as one of the really good commentators translated is, genuine knowledge is to know God. In line with Philippians chapter 3. For by me, and who is the me in verse 11? Wisdom. For by me your days will be multiplied, and your years will be added to you. Now look at verse 12. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. And if you scoff, you will bear it alone. The Bible has some statements of individualism. The soul that sins, it will die. Every man will give an account of himself. This statement in verse 12 may be the most significant individual statement in the Bible. Because here's what it says to you. The ultimate end of wisdom, or the ultimate end of foolishness, will have its full product primarily on yourself. Now, there's no question, if I live wisely or if I live foolishly, it affects my wife. It affects my kids. It affects all of you. But ultimately, what wisdom is teaching us is this. The party that you go to, wisdom or foolishness, the main result of that will be on you. That's what wisdom is teaching. Therefore, a right-minded person would always go to which party? Always. And that's what Solomon has been trying to put in our heads since the very first chapter. The far surpassing greatness of wisdom over folly. So, let's ask the Lord to help us. And what we're going to see in our next time together, by the way, next week, we meet on Tuesday night next week for our Thanksgiving praise service. Everybody's together, big family service that night, next Tuesday night, not Wednesday, Tuesday night. The next time we're back together, we're going to go into chapter 10 and we're going to start to look at some of these skills that a wise person has. And we'll take one of those proverbs and begin to unlock it. And say, all right, here's how a wise woman lives when she's in this situation. Here's how a wise man lives when he's in this situation. All right, quick question or comment? All right. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate it. Good night.